Comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, and we're reading verses 4 through 10. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, 'Lord God, truly, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord.' Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, 'Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant.'" The word of God for the people of God. Well, we have some visitors with us this morning. Welcome. It's good to have you with us. And I apologize. I give one good sermon a year and I already gave it. So bear with us. I'm lying. I don't give even one good one a year. Before I start this morning, I need to kind of clear something up, I think, especially with what I'm about to tell you afterwards. Last week, I got pretty emotional. I had shared with you about that gentleman that had lost hope, and I don't know what happened to him after. That had really touched me. And then the message last week and seeing the pictures and, you know, the happiness is free, it was overwhelming to me. The brokenness of the world that we live in should break all of our hearts, I think. And this week, I got a few cards from people who were deeply concerned that I was having an emotional break or that something terrible was going on. And nothing more terrible than any other week, let me assure you. But I do really appreciate the cards. I wanted you to know that, you know, I'm still about 51% okay. So, but I want to share that because what I'm about to tell you, you may wonder if maybe there isn't something wrong with me. Of course, my calling into the ministry, you've heard that call many times. Because of my call and the role that I play, I'm here all the time. I never ever really leave church. Friday on my day off, I was mowing, and every time I made a pass, I'm looking at the church. And I'm thinking about what's going on, what needs to happen, what hasn't happened, and all of those things. When we go on vacation, when we go on trips, I'm still thinking about the church. And I'm not complaining, I'm just saying that with my role, I am always thinking about the church. And I think it is because of my role that every now and again, the weirdest thing happens to me. Every now and again, I have this moment of clarity in which a thought pops into my head as if it is a brand new idea. It's something that I know, but I forget. And when I remember, it amazes me. Sometimes I forget that you are all here because you want to be. Now again, you're going to think I've lost my gourd, you know, or I'm off my rocker, right? But bear with me for a minute. Part of my role is to educate, to encourage, to beg you to do certain things, to act certain ways, to believe certain things. And, you know, time after time after time, I start to forget. And then I have that moment of clarity that you are all here because you've been called just like me. You decided that God was going to be a priority for you today. You got up early. You got dressed. Maybe you came early. Maybe you were going to be a greeter. Or maybe you were doing Jacob's Well, or you're getting ready for the women's ministry, and you had to come even earlier. Or maybe you came early just so you could talk to your brothers and sisters. Maybe you wanted to encourage them. And you chose to do that. And you choose that every day the same way that I do. And when I remember that, it amazes me, but it also encourages me, that reminds me that I'm not the only one. And I think that might be why the call stories that the scriptures give us are so important. They make us think. They make us remember our own call. And they also kind of follow a certain kind of theme that I think we all have experienced. Of course, every call is different because we're all different, right? We're not all called to the same thing, thank God. But we are all called. And so the lectionary takes us this morning to Jeremiah chapter 1 and Jeremiah's call story. The book of Jeremiah is a rich text. It details God's work from Jeremiah's call to be a prophet, to calls of repentance, to announcements of coming judgment, personal laments, pronouncement against nations, and finally the stunning announcement of hope, renewal, and recreation. It's believed that Jeremiah was raised in a retired preacher's home. It's thought that maybe Jeremiah was a preacher's kid in a little town known as Anathoth. It's a very small village in the central highlands of Israel in the territory and the tribe of Benjamin. It was to this tiny little town that King David long ago had banished the priest Abiathar. Abiathar had chosen sides. And rather than siding with David, he sided with David's eldest son, who made a plot to try and take over the kingdom. Adonijah, David's son, was unsuccessful. Solomon, the son of Bathsheba, was the one that David chose. And as a result, those who sided with Adonijah were killed, except Abiathar, the priest. David spared his life, but banished him to this little town known as Anathoth. And it's believed that there were some other priests who had sided along, and or who had later decided to go and live there, and it became this little community of former priests. It is here that Jeremiah is born. It is where he was raised. It's where he heard his call. Raised around priests, hearing their conversations, seeing their actions, Jeremiah's life, very early on, most likely was centered on Yahweh, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of the covenant. So as Jeremiah is thinking back and reflecting and writing these words, he remembers his call. An incredibly strong call. God speaks to Jeremiah and he says, "I've known you for a long time. I knew you before you ever even knew me. I knew you, in fact, before you were a glimmer in your father's eye. Before you were born, I knew you. I chose you. I consecrated you. And I appointed you to be a prophet. Jeremiah's calling from God is certain. It is clear. And maybe that's because, as Jeremiah writes it, he writes it later on in life, and as he's reflected back, he's had time to think about it. Not every call is this clear, is it? Not every call is so easily understood. Sometimes God calls and we wonder what it means. But not for Jeremiah. God made it very clear. I'm calling you. I'm equipping you. Come over here. And God touches his lips and puts his word in Jeremiah's mouth. Now Jeremiah, as is typical, is hesitant. He has his excuses like Moses and others that are called. And God says, I don't want to hear any of that. I didn't call you because you're equipped. I'm calling you and I'm equipping you. And I'm empowering you. Our sense of call is important. Because it is our sense of call that communicates so many things. And that sense of call is not just to clergy. It's not just to ministry or faith. It covers all aspects of life. Because it is in our sense of call that we are encouraged, especially when things are hard. Jeremiah was given a task to go and to share a message that no one wanted to hear. It was bad news all the way around, and it was not going to be well received. And Jeremiah needed that call to be certain. It is in our call that we understand who we are and whose we are. It is in our call that we hear God saying, you are mine. I'm claiming you. And it is in this call that is repeated over and over throughout our lives. It's not God called me and I did that one thing and now it's over. The call of God continues throughout all the aspects of life. Perhaps what God called you to when you were in your 20s is a very different call than what God is calling you to in your 70s. But I can assure you, God is calling. God calls and God equips. God gives you the things that are necessary to do that job. And God is present throughout. God calls us to ministry. God calls us to faith. God calls us to be children. God calls us to be a part of the family of faith. God calls us to our vocation. God calls us to be fathers and mothers, husbands and wives. And often we need to be reminded of that call, especially when times are hard. When doubts and frustrations start to envelop us, we need to remember that we have been called and that we have been equipped and that we have been empowered by the Creator of all things. The call of God is a powerful thing. It has the ability to take us to places that we never would have gone, to do things we never would have imagined, and sometimes even things we don't want to do. But we recognize that God wants them done. And so we are obedient. Angie and I were talking the other day how hard life is right now. People losing their homes, people living in cars, just people struggling just to pay bills. And for the most part, we in Batesville are isolated in our own little part of the world. I mean, we recognize that things are more expensive, right? But I don't think any of you are living in your car, are you? I don't think any of you, if you were forced to live in your car, would be there long because you are surrounded by a group of people who love you, right? Imagine those individuals who have lost hope, who are living in isolation. They have no family. They have no friends. There is nowhere to turn. And we were talking about these individuals. And how do they do it without God in their life? And maybe that's why they don't have hope. You see, the call of God is a call of obedience. It's the idea that we live with God each and every day, not just inserting God when we have an open spot in our calendar. Not just doing the things that we are really wanting to do, but doing the things that God says, I need you to get this done. We trust in God, the God who calls, that the work that we're called to can be done. And most often, when we do it, we find joy in it. But the call of God is only the beginning. It is obedience. It is using the gifts that God has equipped us with. It is being empowered to live that life, to fulfill that call, not through our power, but through the power of the God who calls us. God touches Jeremiah's mouth and says, I put my words in your mouth. I give you power to tear down, but also to build. The work of Jeremiah is not the work of Jeremiah. It is the work of God in Jeremiah. Jeremiah works in the strength and abilities that God has given, the same way that we do. And we do so ever in the presence of God, filled by the Holy Spirit. Our limitations are self-inflicted. We're the ones that declare we cannot do it, not God. And when I think back at all that this congregation has been through, all that we have accomplished, all that we've done, it is not because of one individual. It is because of the collective gifts and obedience of you all. God equips and empowers us. God gives us the necessary strength and ability to do great things together. That is the power of God at work in God's church. There are people struggling. There are people living without hope. There are people who have heard of God, but do not understand the precious gift that is being offered to them. And God is calling all of us to share that good news, to share the love that we have experienced, and to share the hope that motivates us each and every day. Amen.